You're listening to Mornings with Eric and Bridget right here on Moody Radio 89.3.
5 moves, 10 different houses, 4 children, 2 deployments to combat zones. Did Megan Brown really know what she was signing up for? She says not really, but the sacrifices have been so worth it. So she's helping you as a military spouse know what you signed up for. It's the name of her latest book, subtitled How to Follow Jesus, Love People, and Live on Mission as a Military Spouse. Megan, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us on 89.3.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Let's start with the title of the book. Did you know what you had signed up for? Why this title?
Okay, so I have to admit, I was really, really excited when Moody told me I could keep my title submission because it is a little salty. There's a saying that kind of floats around when military community members are sharing maybe a hard circumstance or a struggle they're going through. A well-meaning person who's listening will say, well, you know what you signed up for. And guys, I'm pretty sure that there is an audible sound to the eye roll when we hear you knew what you signed up for. So really the title is about not knowing what we were getting into when we were looking down the aisle at this gorgeous guy in a uniform. And simultaneously, when we give our life to the Lord, we don't always know what he's going to ask us to sacrifice, what he's going to ask us to lay down, how he's going to ask us to suffer alongside of him. We're not counting the cost when there is a Savior with his hand outstretched, promising love into eternity. We don't always know at the beginning what that work will look like throughout our lives.
So what are some of those struggles that maybe we're just not aware of as civilian people that military families go through?
I think the big one is loneliness. I think at the beginning, we all had an understanding that we would be, you know, expending some time by ourselves or there would be some separations because of military service. But, you know, as a military spouse who's been on the back end of this thing for almost 2 decades, I can say the loneliness is something that never leaves. It's one of those things that you experience after a new move, when your spouse leaves, when they return. That loneliness thread, it tends to stay. I think some of the other, you know, high level optics that most people don't really get to see inside of is the exhaustion of rebuilding your life every 2 years only to know it's going to be taken down. The unemployment rate for military spouses is 4 times the national average. So many military families are struggling with income issues, food insecurity, on top of the already, you know, big issues in the military space of loneliness and isolation. So it really is a layered experience, you know?
So how do you keep it together? How do you stay strong in a marriage when all this is swirling around you?
Oh, man. I mean, the funny answer is Jesus and duct tape. But the honest answer is that many times it really does feel like no matter what we do, there's an aspect of active duty life where something is falling off the wagon, whether that is your career, your ability to make friendships, your ability to connect, to care for your kids. There's always something that feels like it is not going well. And, you know, my husband and I, we talk about it often. I think the way that we, quote unquote, keep it together is by understanding that we're not in control of any of it. You know, that's the first thing you learn in the military, that you are definitely not in control. But we've really had to just build a life that reflects the love God has given us, the grace God has given us, and that's given us the ability to give it to ourselves and to shepherd our children as best as we can through some of these hardships, knowing that it's not all going to be done well, but that if we keep our eyes, you know, fixed on Christ, in the way that we live, in the way that we offer grace to one another, in the way that we set expectations, we can survive it.
We are talking with Megan Brown today, and the book is Know What You Signed Up For, How to Follow Jesus, Love People, Live on Mission as a Military Spouse. How is the military life kind of uniquely positioned to help us live on mission, help those spouses live like that?
Oh, man, I think that the Lord has perfectly positioned us to serve him in gospel missions. you know, moving every 2 to 4 years and having to master the art of community building, I think it makes us assets in the mission field. We can find resources. We can build flourishing communities. We know how to connect quickly. You know, for seasoned military community members, you've got to do that every time you move, or life gets really, really hard. And so what I think the Lord is doing, you know, even if you read in the book of Acts, the military community has always carried the gospel. You know, in the book of Acts, the Roman military carried the gospel to the known world. The Lord has always done it this way. And I think that, you know, because we are already in the nations, what better mission strategy than to mobilize those that are already going?
How did your kids help you with this? You got four kids. So, I mean, it's a different lifestyle for them, too. Are they part of this process of building these relationships?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, what I don't want to do is paint like a Norman Rockwell picture of what it looks like to be a mission family in the military community, because it's not that. I was sitting with my daughter. She's almost 15. And this was back in October. We're getting ready for homecoming and we're doing like a mother-daughter brunch. And she said something about what she remembers most about her time, you know, throughout. And she mentioned when, you know, a military spouse that was in the midst of domestic abuse showed up at our door. And, you know, she was young. She was maybe 7 or 8 when this happened. And that it really just was a profound, you know, memory for her in seeing the darkness that's in here and watching, you know, my husband and I have a conversation with this woman who is, you know, actively being physically harmed. You know, they see things early. You know, my husband has PTSD. Many of our close friends, their families deal with it. Our children get a lot of exposure to the dark underbelly of what sin actually costs. And I think it makes them very aware of what we're doing and why we do what we do. So our kids, I mean, they were homeschooled for a number of years because of the moving. And so they were in my living room with me on Thursday mornings when we had 40 women and, you know, kids everywhere. They were, you know, in the mix of it. So I think that because we already live our lives around a mission, you know, that mission being the defense of this great country, we already know what it's like to sacrifice and suffer well. Why not do that for the Lord?
Yeah. And this book is going to, I believe, be a place where many can feel heard and understood and also encouraged to live that life of mission. But how can the body of Christ, how can the local church reach out to military men and women and their families and encourage them?
Oh, man, it's a lot simpler than I think sometimes we think. You know, my favorite thing about, you know, finding a church home after I've done the dreadful task of church shopping for what feels like forever is that first good church lady hug. When I roll up in my swagger wagon, my minivan, and, you know, my children with one shoe on that travel in packs like rabid squirrels are attacking the donut table, you know, that lady that makes a beeline for you, knows your name, knows your kids, doesn't have the, oh my gosh, that lady has got to get her life together face, and just hugs you. I remember this lady hugged me, and, you know, my husband had been deployed, and she said it just seemed like it had been a really long time since a full-grown adult had hugged you or someone hugged you that wasn't covered in peanut butter. And I was like, that is lovely. Yes. It's being willing to, one, see us for who we are. We are already mobilized. Invest in us and disciple us. Send us from your churches to be ambassadors for Christ. But mostly, it's while we're there, not to treat us like perpetual visitors, you know, where you don't learn our names or plug us into serving passages, you know, serving pathways, because you know you'll have to replace us. I don't know if many civilian churches realize that while they are absolutely welcoming, it's pretty clear that we're not wanted. They would welcome us, but they haven't thought through what it looks like to want us there, to make space that we can fit in, knowing that, you know, if there's a gathering, it has to have childcare. We don't have support. We don't have a mom or a friend that can keep our kids for activities or things like that. that we desperately need friendships upon arrival, and we don't always have the bandwidth to build them after a fresh move. So I think just being present and being intentional are some tangible things.
I'm just wondering, today being Memorial Day, we remember those who have fallen, and that spouse coming to a place where they aren't a couple anymore because of a fallen spouse, would your answer be the same, I guess, as what you just gave?
In some ways, absolutely, yes. And in others, I would not plug a Gold Star family member into serving immediately. They are in a season where they need to be served. And I would even put it before the church that any Gold Star family member, they are going to be in a perpetual need of being served for the rest of their lives. I mean, right? Like, what a holy calling, you know, widows and children. And I think that understanding that there is a deep and abiding pain that always lives there, that, you know, trauma has had an effect on their mind, their body, their spirit, and that caring for them is essential. And so, like, especially on days like today where we honor the fallen, if we're in a local church, man, what better way to honor the fallen than to love their legacy, which is their families?
Mm-hmm. Well, Megan, I know your passion really is to help military men and women and their families live on mission. But what is your message for all of us to also live that way?
You know, when I think about what it means to be a follower of Christ, you know, the book really was a love letter to my younger self. I had no idea what it meant to have a relationship with the Lord, what it meant to belong in his church. And really, I had no concept for the Great Commission. While the book is very heavy in military context, the message I have for all of us as believers is that we've all been called to the Great Commission to make disciples who make disciples. And we just do that in our own context. You know, the Lord made me a military spouse and a mom. And so I do a lot of gospel and evangelistic work as a military spouse and as a mom. You know, I think that when we ask the Lord what context he's given us, we can understand that he has sovereignly chosen us for these spaces as coworkers, neighbors, community members, to leverage everything that we have, our job skills, our conversational skills, our gifts, for the glory of his name and for the expanse of his kingdom, you know?
Yeah, the book is called Know What You Signed Up For, How to Follow Jesus, Love People, and Live on Mission as a Military Spouse. Megan, thank you for encouraging us today to serve those who are serving us. We do appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.